Hello, Illinois Radio Reader listeners. This is Elizabeth McMahon with the Pantograph for Friday, December 20th, 2024. I'm going to start today with local, mostly local news. Then in the second half, I will move to sports and obituaries. And on today's front page, we have two big stories here with a quite a large photo spread, slightly below the fold, with the headline "Helping Hands for the Holidays," and we have three photos here. The first one is a big one with Cadence Ryden and her father Dan Ryden organizing items on Wednesday as the Salvation Army teams up with the U.S. Marine Corps Toys for Tots to distribute toys and food to local families. The distribution was at Youth Build McLean County in Normal. And then there are three other photos below. One is of stuffed animals and other toys waiting to be given out. The other is of Adam Lovell, a community service director with the Salvation Army, getting books ready for distribution. And finally, there's a photo of three turkeys, hams and turkeys, and with the caption, the Tinnervin Family Foundation donated 200 of the 700 food boxes, including 150 hams and turkeys for distribution. And I think there's more about that online, about that drive. But first, I'm going to move to the top story on the page here above the fold. It's an education story, and with the headline, Unit 5, District 87, send 1% sales tax question to voters in April election. And actually, the main headline, if I read it correctly here, is school sales tax up to voters. And let me start the story here. This is also by Drew Zimmerman and Jack Alkire of the paper. So let me begin. Leaders of the two largest school districts in McLean County are asking voters to approve a 1% sales tax that they say could lead to property tax relief while also funding needed building repairs and safety measures. School boards for McLean County Unit 5 and Bloomington Public School District 87 voted in separate meetings on Wednesday night to place a referendum on the ballot in the upcoming April election. If it passes, McLean County would join 57 others in the state that have enacted a county sales tax for school facilities, including Champaign, Peoria, and Macon. For Unit 5, which educates more than half of the county's public school students, the tax could mean an additional $16 million to $20 million annually, Superintendent Kristen Weichel said. Proceeds could greatly offset the expected $50 million cost of needed facility repairs. Weichel speaks from experience. She was superintendent in the Warrensburg-Latham School District when Macon County voters signed off on a sales tax measure for schools in November 2010. Our voters approved the building of a brand new high school at the same time that the county voted to approve the 1% sales tax, Weichel said. And we were able to use the 1% sales tax to make our payments on the brand new high school, so we didn't have to add that to our tax levy. Because the resolution was approved by the school districts making up more than 50.1% of total student population of McLean County, the referendum will appear on the ballot for all registered voters in the county. Weichel and David Mauser, superintendent of District 87, met jointly with Pantograph reporters on Wednesday to talk about why the money is needed and how it could be used. They acknowledged that a previous effort in McLean County failed in 2014. Voters at the time soundly rejected a 1% sales tax for schools, with about 67% of the 16,225 total ballots cast against the measure. But there was a key difference, Mauser said. How the money could be used. At the time, state law limited the funding to school facility purposes. So why now was kind of a question that we keep hearing, he said. And really, the change is that since that time, the legislation changed. So now the money can be spent not just on facility upgrades, but more importantly, now I would argue, is that it can be used for student safety. The statute was eventually amended to include mental health services and safety and security, including upgrades to physical safety measures such as secure entryways, hiring more school resource officers, and increasing support staffing and resources for student mental health, Mauser said. That was not part of it last time, and so now we can provide mental health supports, he said. Crucially, though, that money cannot be used to pay for salaries, Weigel said. This money can't be used on teacher salaries. That can't be used for administrators, right? Those might be some myths that maybe people have in their minds, she said, like, oh, it's going to be used to pay Dr. Mauser or Dr. Weigel more. No, it can't be used that way. Should the referendum pass, Weigel said, the district would also look into opportunities for property tax abatement, such as expenses that could be covered by the newly generated sales tax revenue. If voters approve the referendum, the additional 1% tax would be added to all sales of prepared food, retail, gasoline, and online shopping starting in mid-2025, Mauser said. Other essential purchases are not taxed. Groceries, medications, vehicle purchases, farm equipment, those things are not taxed on the 1%, Mauser said. Other everyday service-type purchases, like haircuts, are also exempt from the tax, Weigel said, ensuring that not every needed purchase is subject to the tax. If you go out to eat at, you know, a sit-down restaurant, you go through a McDonald's, you're going to pay a 1% sales tax on those purchases, she said. If you're going to the grocery store, though, to buy spaghetti and spaghetti sauce, you're not paying a 1% sales tax on that. When McLean County considered the tax a decade ago, online sales were not taxed as they are now, Mauser said. That change both increases the amount of potential revenue from the tax and complicates attempts to calculate it. It's really a difficult thing to be able to nail down because a lot of it now includes the online spending. So it's actually tied to like credit card receipts and zip codes related to those credit cards, he said. However, using investment banking firm Stifel's calculations, Mauser and Weigel estimate that more than a third of the potentially tax purchases made in McLean County are from people who live outside of it. Our initial research looks like 35% to 40% right around that area of the money that is collected in the sales tax in Bloomington Normal. McLean County area would actually be from folks that don't live in McLean County, Mauser said. Such an increase in potential revenue from out-of-county residents allows even encourages the school districts to seek ways to ease the burden on local property owners, Mauser said. Property tax relief has to be part of this conversation, he said, and if it's not part of the conversation to lower property tax rates, then I don't think I can support it. The 1% sales tax adds another stream of revenue for schools that can shift some of the burden of funding education from property owners to everyone doing business within the county, Weigel said. When I go to Decatur and visit my grandchildren, take them to ice cream, I'm paying towards the benefit of their schools in that county, she said. Why not let visitors as well as our own residents help offset that cost for us and provide some relief to property tax owners? No matter what voters decide, there's no getting around some of the expenses on the horizon at both District 87 and Unit 5, the superintendent said. And I'm talking structural things essential to the function of the building, Weigel said, like new roofs needed in the next 2 years at Chittick's Junior High School and Normal Community High School. The 1% sales tax is one way to fund that without us having to borrow money and pay interest on the debt, she said, and that would be solely resting on the shoulders of property owners, whereas the countywide facility sales tax would be anyone who's shopping, dining, coming to McLean County for recreational activities. And the election is April 1st. Our second story on the front page of the Pantograph today is a local one, by Brandon Dennison, with the headline, Lifelong Access awarded $22 million in state funds to renovate old pantograph building into service agency hub. And there's a photo of the pantograph here. The former pantograph building, I should say, at 301 West Washington Street in Bloomington. Lifelong Access is being awarded a $21.7 million state grant to purchase and renovate the former pantograph building at 301 West Washington Street in Bloomington, transforming it into a hub for supportive service agencies. In announcing the grant Wednesday, Governor J.B. Pritzker's office said the grant is part of the Healthcare Transformation Capital Investment Program, which is providing a total of $200 million to 13 organizations across the state. According to Lifelong Access, formerly known as Mark First, the Normal-based nonprofit has worked for 69 years to remove barriers for kids, teens, and adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities, as well as mental health concerns in the community. Lifelong Access plans to use the grant to acquire the former newspaper office building to house agencies that provide services in behavioral health, psychiatry, an urgent care center for youth behavioral health, pediatric primary care, dental wellness, alternative youth education, community day services, food security initiatives, and supported employment programming. Rebecca Brennan, interim CEO of Lifelong Access, said she and its leadership are incredibly thrilled to get the grant. She described their plans as an expansion of the organization's existing services to the downtown area because there's such a need all over our community. But on that side of town, downtown, there's not services available. People have to travel a bit, so we're excited to have it more centrally focused, Brennan told the Pantograph. Brennan, who noted most services at the downtown site will be focused on youth, said the project will make services more accessible. Our goal is to be able to serve families holistically, youth, teens, adults, all people, all ages, Brennan said. Lifelong Access's community day services include programming for adults with developmental disabilities to grow their independent daily living skills, she said. She also said they're still working to identify community partners to establish a food insecurity initiative in downtown Bloomington, noting they have partners near downtown location that already work to fill that need. It's really a one-stop shop so people can have all of their needs met, Brennan said. Brennan also said Lifelong Access is proud to lead the initiative and link arms for this project with their partners at Chestnut Health Systems and the Regional Office of Education. Puneet Lika, COO and incoming CEO of Chestnut Health Systems, said they're also thrilled to collaborate on a forward-thinking project. Lika said the initiative will bring essential interventions with a primary focus on youth. In a statement Thursday, Lifelong Access said health challenges are particularly evident for McLean County youth ages 6 to 17. As of 2023, 3,200 youths in that age range were living at or below the poverty level. 3,303 were chronically absent from school. 1,400 had experienced sexual violence. 13,400 had been living with at least one adverse childhood experience. 1,500 were living with a disability, 1,800 made suicide plans, and there were 900 suicide attempts. The governor's statement noted the grant investment program is part of a new collaboration between the Illinois Department of Health Care and Family Services and the Illinois Capital Development Board, which builds on the former agency's equity-driven healthcare transformation collaborative program. That initiative was established in 2021 to expand access of care and improve health quality, especially in underserved communities. Organizations were chosen on a merit-based review in accordance with Grant Accountability and Transparency Act requirements, the announcement noted. Brennan said Lifelong Access, which currently has 210 employees, plans to hire additional staff for the expanded service center, but she was unable to provide specifics. Bloomington City Manager Jeff Juergens said the project is a large step in revitalizing downtown Bloomington. The proposed redevelopment supports critical community goals while fostering growth and vibrancy in our downtown, Juergens said in a prepared statement. Brennan said Juergens has just been a great supporter in getting the project going, and they will continue to collaborate with the city. Juergens said the zoning requirements for this project are already in place. In an interview Thursday, he said the city council approved an amendment September 23rd to allow a school to operate in D2 zoning as special use. Council approved the special use permit for the school on October 28th. With zoning parameters in place, he said lifelong access does not need to go through a public hearing to move forward, though he noted there are still building codes and permits to consider. It's going to be just like any construction project in other districts in the city, he said. Juergens echoed his excitement for the project while adding he hopes it's one of many multi-million dollar projects in our downtown area in the next few years. When asked if they have held discussions with neighboring downtown businesses, Brennan said lifelong access leaders are working closely with its board to make sure all of their community partners feel good about the work they're bringing to the downtown area. The interim CEO said she's open to having a conversation with anyone who wants to learn more about the project. She said they haven't had security issues at their current location and don't anticipate that for any new location. We're so grateful for this opportunity. It's just going to be a great way to help address those health care disparities that we're seeing, Brennan said. Moving on inside the pantograph here, we're moving to the inside pages. We have a local photo, a local story, sorry, by Jim Rossow of the News Gazette with the headline, this is a crime-related story, suspect in Muhammad triple homicide fatally shot by police after incident in Cook County. And I'm going to begin the story here. We have, I'm scrolling down. Okay, a man suspected of shooting and killing three people in Muhammad on Wednesday night was later shot and killed by police following a separate incident at the Chicago suburbs. Champaign County Coroner Lori Brower identified the three killed in Muhammad as Janice Mason, 61, Sarah Mason, 26, and Caleb Mason, 23. Police had responded at 9:41 p.m. Wednesday to reports of a shooting in the 1100 block of Riverside Court on the south side of Muhammad. Once on the scene, police found three victims with life-threatening wounds. One victim, Sarah Mason, was pronounced dead at the scene. Janice Mason and Caleb Mason were taken to Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana and were pronounced dead shortly after 10 p.m. Muhammad Police Chief Mike Metzler said Thursday morning that a suspect had been identified and located and that the citizens of Muhammad are safe and there's no active threat. Meanwhile, police in Berwyn, a western suburb of Chicago, responded at 11:38 p.m. Wednesday to a report of a male suspect, or subject, with a gun in the 1800 block of Home Avenue, according to a news release from the Berwyn Police Department. When officers arrived, the subject fled on foot and escaped police, the news release said. The subject then forced entry to a home a couple blocks away in the 1800 block of Winona Avenue, where he fatally shot two dogs, police said. Officers found the man fleeing into a nearby yard back on Home Avenue. He disobeyed verbal orders to stop and instead shot at the officers, the news release said. Police returned fire and fatally struck the subject. No officers were injured during the incident, the news release said. The Berwyn Police Department said early reports indicate that the offender was wanted for a triple homicide committed in Muhammad, Illinois, earlier in the day on December 18th. It's unclear whether the man was identified as the homicide suspect before or after the incident in Berwyn. The name of the suspect has not yet been released. The crimes are being investigated by the Illinois State Police Public Integrity Task Force, Berwyn Police Department, Champaign County Sheriff's Office, and Champaign County Coroner's Office. In more local news here, we have a story on Unit 5 with the headline, McLean County Unit 5 adopts $163 million property tax levy. And this is by Drew Zimmerman. McLean County Unit 5 will be levying property taxes in the amount of $163.4 million for the 2024 tax year. On Wednesday, the Board of Education approved the levy, which is approximately 9.2% higher than the 2023 tax year. Because the levy request was more than 5% higher than the previous year, a truth in taxation hearing was required before the board could take action. However, no members of the public requested to speak during the hearing. Unit 5 Chief Financial Officer Marty Hickman said there were no changes to the levy from when it was first introduced in November. The levy for the Education Fund, which is Unit 5's general operating fund, increased from $76.3 million in 2023 to about $109 million for 2024 due to an increased tax rate that was approved by referendum in the 2023 consolidated election. The district had agreed not to utilize the new Education Fund tax rate until it paid down existing bond debt. In 2024, Unit 5's levy for debt services dropped from about $37 million to $13.6 million after the district paid off its building bonds. Although the education tax rate could go as high as $3.60 per $100 of assessed value, Hickman said unexpected growth in assessed value across the district allowed staff to calculate a slightly lower rate. We're trying to balance the revenue needed to fund the district in the adopted budget this year, along with not putting as much burden on the taxpayers, Hickman said. In total, the district's tax rate decreased from $5.29 per $100 of assessed value to $5.07 per $100. This means the owner of a $225,000 home in Unit 5 who experienced no EAV growth between 2023 and 2024 would be paying about $165 less for the school district's portion of their property tax bill. However, if that property owner experienced a 10.63% increase in value in 2024, which is in line with the average growth in the district, they would see a $239 increase to Unit 5's portion of their property tax bill. Heading into the 2025 tax year, Unit 5 may be in a position to abate some of its property taxes if a 1% county facility sales tax is passed via referendum. During Wednesday's meeting, the board also voted to put the question of a 1% sales tax on the ballot during April's consolidated election. The tax would be in effect for prepared food, retail items, and online purchases. Unit 5 estimates the tax, which was proposed to help cover about $50 million in capital projects needed over the next 5 years, could bring in between $16 million and $20 million annually. Hickman said the district plans to levy about $6 million to pay off the remaining balance of its health and life safety bonds. Should the sales tax be approved this spring, there would be plenty of time to use those funds to abate that $6 million, Hickman said. Our next story has the headline, Rebuilding BHS Tennis Courts Okayed. And this is by D. Jack Alkire. And there's a photo here of Bloomington District 87 Board of Education President Elizabeth Fox Anvik and Superintendent David Mauser. Listen during a school board meeting on Wednesday, December 18th at the high school. A package of bids for rebuilding Bloomington High School tennis courts has approved by the school board, paving the way for renovations to begin in April. The project, which was budgeted at $1.7 million, would involve replacing the foundation, asphalt, fencing, lighting, and surfacing, and all design and administrative costs for a projected cost of just over $1.3 million, said Chris Tyra, co-owner of Midwest Construction Professionals. MCP created six categories of work within the project and solicited bids from several vendors, he said, and their recommended contractors who could potentially perform the work at a significantly under budget rate. We're 26% under budget, Tyra told the Bloomington District 87 Board of Education Wednesday night at its meeting held at BHS. Addressing concerns from board member Courtney Turnbull, Tyra confirmed all work concerned with the rebuild carries a warranty guaranteed for at least 1 year, adding that he would provide the board with more information on specific guarantees as the project progresses. We're planning on starting in mid-April, Tyra said. The anticipated completion date is about mid-July, and that's even once they do the asphalt paving. It's about a 30-day period that we have to wait for until we do that surfacing and the striping and everything. Those 30 days allow for the asphalt to properly cure before bearing weight, he said. In other business, the board approved the finalized tax levy for 2024, which was presented without change from last month's calculations by Michael Cornale, the district's chief financial and facilities officer. The equalized assessed value of all properties within the district is expected to be just under $1.1 billion for fiscal year 2024, and Cornale said he anticipates the district will receive just over $55.1 million in tax revenue. We request it now. We receive it in May, June, July, through the summer months, Cornale told the board at November's regular meeting. Those funds serve as the bulk of the district's revenue, about 60%, he said. Moving down the page here, we have a crime story with the headline, Man from Normal Charged with 21 Felonies for Sex Crimes Against Children. And this is by Caitlin Klepek. A McLean County grand jury returned a bill of indictment A man from Normal faces 21 felony offenses accused of multiple sex crimes involving children in McLean County. Bradley J. Stower, 23, is charged with 14 counts of criminal sexual assault of a minor between 13 and 17, Class 1 felonies, 4 counts aggravated criminal sexual abuse of a person below the age of 18, Class 1, 2 counts of grooming, Class 4, 1 count for soliciting images depicting child sex abuse of a victim under the age of 18, that's Class 1. A McLean County grand jury returned a bill of indictment charging him Tuesday, and he was taken into custody later that day. Stower appeared in court Wednesday afternoon for an initial appearance before Judge Greg Minger. Assistant State's Attorney David Fitt filed a petition to detain the defendant on the grounds of dangerousness. A probable cause statement was not read in court, but Normal police issued a statement Wednesday about their investigation that led to Stower's arrest. The department was notified June 16th of reported criminal sexual abuse incident involving a juvenile victim. Over the following days, additional juvenile victims were identified and interviewed by a trained forensic juvenile interviewer, Normal police said. During the investigation, police identified Stower as a suspect. At the time, he was employed at a local tumbling and cheer facility in Normal. Once evidence of a crime was verified, the owner of the facility immediately terminated the suspect's employment, Normal police said. Before the case proceeded Wednesday, Stower's attorney, Adam Grist of Bloomington, asked the judge for the detention hearing to be continued to a later time and date because he did not have enough time to look over all the evidence in the case. Grist noted the case includes a significant amount of discovery with dozens of pages, which he said he received Wednesday morning. Additionally, Grist said the offenses allege multiple victims, date ranges, and types of offenses, with 4 separate police reports. Grist said because he will be in Livingston County for a different client Thursday, he would not be available until Friday. Fitz said he was prepared to proceed Wednesday and noted if the case is continued to Friday, Stower may exceed the 48-hour limit between initial appearance and detention hearing. Minger agreed to continue the hearing to 1 p.m. Friday, December 20th, to begin slightly before the regularly scheduled pretrial Fairness Act hearings, which start at 1:30 p.m. Until then, Stower will remain in the custody of the McLean County Sheriff's Office pending his Friday detention hearing. The Normal Police Department is asking anyone who was or knows someone who was a victim related to this case to contact Detective Kendra DeRosa at 309-454-9624 or KDEROSA at normail.gov. And I will take a break. In the second half, we will have another local crime-related story, some other features, sports, and I think we have about 2 obituaries in the paper today. So I will take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph. Please stay tuned.